Lewis Howes joins us on Sports Byline, former professional Arena League player, and he attended Principia College and Capital University, was a decathlete and an All-American football player. And I got to ask you right off the top to tell me about that game in which you caught 17 passes for 418 yards against Martin Luther College. Did they all fall down, or what's the story there, Lewis?
You know, it's interesting. They started out with one player on me, then two, then three, and it was almost like it didn't matter. It was one of those moments. And I think a lot of athletes have these moments where everything works for them. They're just totally, you know, in the zone, as people like to call it. And it was – we actually lost the game, Ron. It was one of the most upsetting losses. We lost by, like, 3 points the last minute. We were driving to go score to win. I was going to go get a touchdown. And I also kicked the extra points as well because I went to such a small school. So I would kick off, I would punt, I'd punt return, everything. And we, they were going to throw it to me on 4th and 12. And I caught the ball at about 11 yards. And I realized I wasn't able to reach for it because there was like two guys on my ankles holding me down and another guy on my top. And so I tried to pitch the ball to one of my linemen before my knee hit the ground and let him run up for the first down. But they actually got my knee down first and turned over the ball. And that was the game. And I remember feeling extremely upset and didn't actually think I had that good of a game. But afterwards, people were so in awe. They were like, congratulations, you were amazing. And I was like, I didn't even think I did that well. And then my coach later told me that I had 418 yards. And I was like, really? It didn't even feel like it. So it's a pretty cool experience, but bittersweet.
Did you want to play professional football?
Yeah, that was my dream as a child. The Olympics and pro sports was what I wanted.
I asked that question because 2 games into your first Arena League season, you collided with a wall while diving to make a catch, and you snapped your wrist. And the last game, it turned out to be the last game you ever played after you underwent corrective surgery and everything. So I'm just wondering, how did you deal with the trauma of realizing you weren't going to be able to realize that dream?
It was a year and a half of confusion, uncertainty, and borderline depression, I guess, where I was living on my sister's couch for the next year and a half. I didn't have any money. You know, in arena football, they don't really pay you that much. It's just enough to kind of get by. And I didn't have a college degree at the time. So I was really in a state of extreme uncertainty, being a 23-year-old, no college degree, in our Great Depression in 2008, 2009, when the economy was really bad. And I just was like, what am I going to do next? My father went through a pretty severe accident the year prior, had a severe head injury in a car accident, and really wasn't himself anymore. So I pretty much lost my father, essentially, emotionally, and I didn't know what I was going to do next. It was definitely a lot of building myself back up, realizing that, you know, I pretty much can't get any worse than where I'm at. You know, obviously I was blessed and grew up in a family that had food and water and the things we have in America, but for my situation, it was extremely challenging to figure out what I was going to do next.
What did you do, and how did you get through that difficult period and start to go down a path?
The thing that I started to do was reach out to mentors. You know, my father, I wasn't really able to reach out to him because he was recovering from this injury and had a lot of amnesia. So I was reaching out to his family support, but also other successful people that I admired or aspired to be like. I started reaching out to them and just really seeing how they did it. I watched their energy. I watched their attitude. I asked them lots of questions. You know, as an athlete, we become really good at being coachable. And so I would ask them, you know, what would you do if you're in my situation? You know, what did you do when you were 24 trying to figure it out? And I just would consume all this information and then follow their lead. They would tell me exactly what to do. And then as a good student, as a good athlete, I would just practice, practice, practice. And I pretty much learned how to apply everything I learned in sports into the rest of my life so far and into business and making money and relationship building and team bonding. It's all been translatable.
Lewis, did you find, I know you started 2 companies, Sports Networker in 2008, Sports Executives Association. Did you find in interacting and interfacing with people that are in sports that their attitude toward life, toward business, toward challenges was different than the general people in society?
Yeah, you know, are you talking about athletes in general or sports professionals?
Both, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a there's 2 different sides of this because there's athletes who are incredibly talented as athletes, and then when they retire, they try to figure out what's next, and they have no clue how to do it, or they don't have the same drive because it's different and they're confused and they're not confident with the next step. And then there's the athletes who are, they know how to hustle. They know how to work hard. They know how to sacrifice their life because they're doing three a days and they're getting up early to lift and they're, you know, they're set to a schedule and an itinerary every single day for practice and games. So they have put in more work than most people who have never played in a sport at a high level. And those individuals are able to translate what they've learned from sports and apply it to business and have become extremely successful. So you've got the guys who go bankrupt, you know, 2 years after they retire, after making millions. And then you've got the guys who figure out a way to translate it and be extremely successful because they've got that drive and they use it for the rest of their life.
How emotional and I guess might say mentally prepared are players when it all comes to an end?
Not very emotionally prepared at all. I mean, and that's why you see, you know, unfortunately, guys like Junior Seau committing suicide, you know, a year or two after he's on the top of the world as, you know, all pro football player and, you know, one of the best in the game. And then it's like, what's next? And I think there's this expectation, there's this pressure that a lot of athletes feel, and they don't know what to do next. They don't know where to go next. They don't have an identity anymore because that is their identity. And they're so used to having something one way, feeling like almost like a god in their own way, to basically having to start over. And I think it's extremely scary for especially men who maybe aren't comfortable with being vulnerable and not being at the top of their game. I think it's an extreme challenge and struggle emotionally, mentally, and a lot of people just don't know how to deal with it.
We're talking with Lewis Howes, and he is a former professional Arena League player who got injured and saw his dream of playing professional football go by the wayside and has really become hugely successful. Matter of fact, President Obama and the White House in a ceremony, he was named one of the top 100 entrepreneurs in the U.S. under 30, and he hosts a largely popular The School of Greatness podcast. Why did you make it?
You know, I felt like there was always something for me in this world, and I didn't feel like my life was just supposed to stop after sports, and that's all I was meant to do. I have an extreme sense of drive and dedication to being of service to the world, and I didn't know what that actually meant. I just knew I wanted to support and serve others. For me, when I was playing sports, it was to inspire people, to show them what was possible for them in their own lives. So to show them, like, hey, you know, you can see a guy get beat up over and over and over again and still make a great play and still come back and win. And I was, my intention was to inspire people to say, you know, I could do this in my own life as well. If these guys can do this on the battlefield, I can do this in my relationship, with my business, my life. And I think I just felt like this deep desire that where I was at was not enough. And the world, I've got a lot of life left, and I want to make something of myself. So I think that commitment to myself, wanting to make sure that I was there for my family. I already had nothing to lose. I was already broke, sleeping on my sister's couch. So there wasn't anywhere farther for me to go down at the point I was at now. And I just wanted to make something of myself.
You know, I find it interesting today. I'm a little bit older, so I can have a, you know, I've been down the path before, and I think it's a reflection, and it's not a criticism of where we are in society today, but I think that a lot of people, particularly when it comes to athletes and athletics, they think things are going to be easy all the time. They also have been passed along to some degree, even though, you know, maybe they weren't making the grades because they were able to do something special in sports, they were passed on. And the other thing I hear from my veteran friends who are either still playing in professional sports or have retired is that the young player who comes in doesn't realize that if they were a star at the college level, they have to check their ego at the door and they have to go out and prove themselves again. And I don't even know what to say to that because I think a lot of kids think they're bulletproof. Ah, I'm going to be able to make it and everything else. What are your observations? Because you happen to be a young guy that runs into a lot of athletes and people in sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate to that. And I had one of the biggest egos growing up. Definitely, I think it comes with the territory when everyone is, again, like you said, pushing you forward. My grades were not that good in high school. And in college, and I felt like they kind of just, you know, gave it easy to me sometimes because, I was one of the better players in the school or whatever. And so we get this false sense of confidence as well. Like, because we did one thing really well, people let us slide in other things. And the quickest way to check our ego is getting injured, because you see this happen to players and they're like, wow, okay, I can't play for a year. And now I'm not getting the attention. Now no one really cares about me. I'm indispensable. And then they realize, wow, maybe I'm not recovering as fast as I used to. So, how much longer do I have with this? So then people start to check their ego. Also, fear comes in, and then also they don't come back as strong sometimes because they're afraid to get hurt again of what they may lose. So a lot of people are afraid of what they're going to lose when they're done or if they get injured, and that hurts people too. But, yeah, I think it's just, we're like young guys who are trying to, live our dreams, and we're constantly trash-talking when we're going up the process, especially in football. It's different in other sports, I guess, but – and I think it just takes an emotionally evolved human being to be able to manage and check their ego, especially in college when they're on cover of magazines or on primetime on ESPN. It's hard to check your ego. So I think in order to make that happen, you've got to have a really strong community and family and support group to check your ego constantly and bring you back down to earth and let you know that what you're actually doing is not – no one's going to remember in 100 years, so you're actually – nothing at all. And in the grand scheme of things, you being a great athlete means nothing in the world. If you want to think about it from all the years of history, check our egos. We're not that as great as we think we are. We're not as important as we think we are. And, bring it back to a human level. I think that's valuable and important.
From a business standpoint, the best quote I ever heard was from a good friend of mine, Joe Morgan, the Hall of Fame second baseman. I asked him, what's the best piece of advice you ever got? He said, be prepared for the first day you retire when you start playing this game. And I think he's absolutely right about that, because you never know when it's going to end. And he said, I started preparing for retirement the first day I started playing professional baseball. I don't think a lot of professional athletes do that, and I don't know what the answer is to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them probably feel like the money's just going to keep coming. And, I think the average lifespan of the NFL players is around 3.5 or 4 years now. It might be less. I don't even know. And then after all the fees, the taxes, the agents cut, all those different things, there's really not that much money. I mean, if you're making $500,000 a year, there's really not that much money at the end of the day when you have a bigger lifestyle. And even if you're making $1 million a year, there's a lot of taxes at that level and a lot of pressures to keep up with everyone else. So if you're not saving, I mean, I'm a big proponent of investing and saving early on and allowing that money to compound over time. This is something that I've been, when I was broke, I was like, I never want to feel broke again. I never want to have to take money from my sister and sleep on her couch for another year and a half and not be able to pay the rent or for food. I never want to have that feeling again. And I realized I've got to start learning about money and what it actually means. And when guys, we're never taught this in school. We're never taught how to make money and manage money. And, how to invest it. There's some really key things we're never taught. And I think that's important for us to learn it on our own, get enough basic understanding of how money works, how investing works, read a couple of different books on it, and find someone who can support you on it, who's not going to benefit from your money either. So someone who's a fiduciary, who's obligated to support you, and they're not getting a commission off of your what you invest in through them. That's the key, I think, is finding someone like that.
We only have about 20 seconds left. And sure. When you think about your career and the path you ended up taking, what makes you smile the most?
That I gave it all I had and I went for my dream. I think a lot of my teammates and people that I knew who were a lot better than me were too scared to go for it. And even though I didn't make it to the NFL and I got injured and I only got to play 1 year, I am grateful for the experience, and I'm so blessed that I showed myself what was possible.
Yeah, I still have that same appeal, too. The way I look at things, I would rather try and fail than not have tried. I think you're absolutely,
absolutely
right. Lewis, let's stay in touch, my friend. Come on up here and sit in the studio with me.
Would love to, Ron. I appreciate it. You are amazing.
Take care. Lewis Howes was with us, former professional Arena League player. And again, check out the School of Greatness podcast. I think it's something you'll get an awful lot of out of, and also a magazine named him one of the 5 internet gurus who can make you rich. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.